Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
Joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines today, we have the Chief Executive Officer of Wilderness Foundation Africa, Dr. Andrew Muir. Now, we speak to him in the wake of Eastern Cape Conservation, in the words of our reporter Guy Rogers, losing a limb. One of South Africa's oldest protected area volunteer support groups is closing down. That's the Friends of the Bavianskloof Wilderness Area, otherwise known as FOBWA. Andrew, thank you for joining us. This is not good news. What are the implications for conservation in our neck of the woods?
Thank you for having me. No, it's not good news. And yet at the same time, we need to acknowledge and be very grateful for the work that the Friends of the Bavianskloof Wilderness Area have done for decades. And in fact, I'm really value that they came around at a time when the Bavians really needed a friends group to help activate public support and interest, as the new conservation agency at the time had just been established. So I think they have fulfilled a critical role to this point.
Strictly volunteers. It's a public-private partnership, but it's volunteers that are doing the work.
Exactly. They have been strictly a volunteer, which is part of, I think, of the challenge here. They've had to pay all their own costs. The Bavianskloof, for most of their members who are all volunteers, it's to their costs. They've got to use their vehicles, their fuel, their time. You can't just go for half a day. You know, it takes them.
It's a commitment,
right? It is a commitment.
Now, what is it that led to the closure? I know you can't speak on their behalf, but they would have shared with you. What were the major factors that led to their closure?
Well, I think first of all, they've been doing this for a long time. The Bavianskloof has changed in shape and form since the Friends of the Bavianskloof Wilderness Area was created, in that it's literally double the size it was 23, 24 odd years ago. And it has more of a dangerous game element than it had when it started, the our rhino and other species there. So sure, for sure. Volunteers to work in that area, they can't always go in on their own. They would need to have officials going in with them, depending on what they were tasked to do. So I think logistically, for both parties, both the Eastern Cape Parks and Tourism Agency that run the Bavians and the Friends group, it's probably become more difficult to function in certain areas over time.
And it's a tricky area, because I'd imagine from the authorities' side, they appreciate the involvement of volunteers. It helps spread the workload. It makes their life a little easier. But at the same time, it's become more dangerous, as you say. So there are indemnities that come into play. There's also the other side of things, with rhino poaching having been on the rise in the last decade and a half, two decades. From the park side, you want to make sure that the volunteers that you bring on board are all legit and aren't sharing inside information with some of the syndicates.
No, I think you've absolutely spoken to the point. And this really isn't about the Friends of the Bavians, but this is, I think, now becoming a problem countrywide, where we have volunteer groups that have become a critical component for protected area agencies to work, because they don't only bring in thousands and thousands of hours of volunteer time. Many of them are experts in their fields. Mm. They ecologists, biologists. Obviously, they are people that have an interest in that area, and they've got a lot to offer the area in their skill sets. And they also have this ability to raise both awareness for that area and
funds.
Raise funds. And so it's not only the in-kind support they give in their time, but if you just have a look at the honorary rangers of National Parks Board, I don't know the exact numbers on me, but they raise tens of millions of rand a year for that agency. And then if you add the volunteer hours that they give in manning gates, in doing foot patrols, fence patrols, in picking up litter, in helping with alien vegetation removal, it's probably another tens and tens of millions of rand a year. So they are really a force for conservation if used effectively, if empowered, and if the system allows it.
So there's going to be a vacuum left with Friends of the Bobbejaans Wilderness Area not being in the game anymore. What happens there? Who steps in there?
Well, look, there are a lot of NGOs that have a keen interest on protected areas like Wilderness Foundation and many others. There are a lot of local NGOs in and around the Bobbejaans Mega Reserve that are very active. But we do need to address this issue as a province, and we do need to find a creative way to ensure that our volunteer groups can work hand in hand with the conservation agencies. And I'm not just talking about the Bobbejaans, but particularly if you look at a municipal level, just here in Nelson Mandela Bay, many of the Van Staden's Flower Reserve, there's a lot of volunteers helping there. The Barkens, there's a lot of volunteer groups helping in and around there. It's about mandating them, empowering them, ensuring that there's a seamless relationship between the mandated authorities, the volunteer groups, and what they're actually mandated to do, and the mechanisms that would help to enable that.
Just for someone who might not be exactly sure where Wilderness Foundation Africa fits into this particular tapestry, maybe give us an idea of where that is.
We have been very active in the Eastern Cape for over 30 years now, but we are a national foundation. We operate in 7 of our 9 provinces. We have our head office here in Nelson Mandela Bay. We have since 2001, and we have an interest in our core protected areas, whether they the Bobbejaans or Nkombati or Addo Elephant Park, and we are actively working with the authorities to help to enlarge and to find ways to increase the footprint of those areas as we move to more connectivity in conservation. The whole move is moving from this fragmented protected areas to protected areas that are linked to each other through corridors and through expansion. So we're actively involved in that space. And then, of course, we also have a big educational element and a skills training side to what we do, and we are very involved in the poaching crisis that's hitting our country at a number of different levels. We have done a lot around rhino, but of recent, we also very involved in succulents. The succulent poaching is overtaking the rhino issue in terms of its impact.
So flora is under attack as much as the fauna we hear about.
Correct, yeah.
I understand administratively, with the closure of Friends of the Bobbejaans, they have, as part of the administrative procedures, they've transferred the funds that they do have, they've transferred over to your organization.
Yes, so we, in the early 2000s, we were appointed as the NGO to run and make the Bobbejaans Kloof Mega Reserve happen. So that was our main piece of work at that time and why we actually came into the province. And we've kind of stayed ever since and still have a keen interest in the Mega Bobbejaans and beyond that. And rhino has become a very effective tool for increasing our conservation areas, particularly in the Eastern Cape. And so the Friends Group have given us those funds towards that end.
So a focus on the rhino.
Correct. And expansion.
The story refers to the Eastern Cape Conservation, having lost a limb. Despite that, are you positive about future private-public partnerships? And hopefully we won't be seeing organizations like this closing down?
I think that I am positive. I'm obviously wanting to find a way to enable volunteer groups to be properly recognized by authorities and for it to be a win-win for both, but more importantly for the end goal, which is conservation and our heritage. I do believe that those people that have a passion for an area can bring so much into the mix. And I do think that that local knowledge that they often bring can help authorities in a very constructive way. And at a time when we are resource deficient in many of our protected areas, particularly following COVID, we need additional sources of funding to run our volunteers. And you don't have to look further than those that have a direct love and interest in that area to help mobilize and get interest in that area through awareness, through media, and through fundraising activities. And friends groups can do that very effectively. And so that's what I want to see happen. And I'm hoping that this sad news can be turned around ultimately into a positive story. Because as I said earlier, there isn't, or I don't know of a protected area in our country that doesn't need a friends group actively engaged.
We'll leave it there. The Chief Executive Officer of the Wilderness Foundation Africa, Dr. Andrew Muir, appreciate you joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines today, sir. Go well.
Thank you.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.